Well, good morning to all of you. Greetings in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here this morning and share with you and worship with you. It's unfortunate that I don't get to hear Leland preach. I don't know how he feels about me being here, but it seems like that happens way too often that we have a visitor and for some reason we're gone. But at any rate, it's good to be back with you all here to worship with you this morning. This morning I'd like to consider a subject that over the last few months has been brought to my attention quite vividly, and just even in the last couple of days it came back again. But to begin with, consider with me the word choices. I am sure that all of you that are sitting here this morning made a lot of choices before you came. Probably most of those choices didn't make a whole lot of difference in relation to to being here. Maybe some of them were important. I'm not sure how you might look at all of those. But in our life, we do have a lot of choices to make. Some of these choices require a lot of thought. Some of the choices we make, we don't even think about it. We just do it automatically, as it were. You know, some questions that we could ask in relation to our choices are questions like, does it really matter this morning what we choose? Does it make any difference, the choices that we make? Do you and I have any guidelines to guide the choices that we make in our lives? I'm sure that you would answer both of those questions that yes, it does matter, and yes, you do have guidelines. You know, when we think of the choices that we might make in relation to food, you know, we all have some kind of parameters within which we make those choices. Maybe it's simple things like, how the food's going to affect you, or whether it's healthy in your mind, or whether it's tasty. Or maybe the choices that you make in relation to the clothes that you wear. Maybe they're guided by parameters such as, you know, whether these clothes are in style, whatever that style might be, or whether they fit. Or whether you need them, or whether your dad and your mom would approve of them, and so on. Choices. The choices today, choices are very much a part of our life. And the Bible gives us clear instructions concerning how we should choose. Gives us clear instruction concerning the parameters that we should have in place that affect and direct the choices that you and I make. Joshua 24. Verses 15 to 18, familiar verses here, but Joshua is speaking to the children of Israel. And he says it like this, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God." Joshua tells the people, you know, make up your mind who you are going to serve. Make the choice. And that same choice stands before you and me this morning. The choice of whether we're going to reject God or whether we're going to follow Him. You have to decide. I have to decide. You and I today have the opportunity to decide. And it's a choice that will direct all other choices. And you know, I could probably stop here and we could just end with that. But I have a few more thoughts to consider along based upon what I have been saying. Because even before these wonderful words from Joshua to the children of Israel, the option and the call to choose was given to them, given to these very same people. If you would, open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'd like to read to you verses 15 to 20. Again, this is not Joshua speaking, but Moses speaking before Joshua gave his little encouragement to the children of Israel. Moses says it like this: "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. And if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away, and worship other gods, and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them." Two different options here, given by Moses in three different ways. He presents it as a choice of life or death, a choice of good or evil, a choice of blessing or cursing. Moses makes it clear to the children of Israel. He said, "I have told you everything that you need to know. You have no excuse. You have to make a choice. Here are your options. You need to decide. You need to choose." And my dear friends, that same message is presented to you and me today. It's as if Moses was standing here before you and he's saying, "Look, I have told you everything you need to know. Make a choice." Life versus death. Good versus evil. Blessing versus cursing. These verses in Deuteronomy have always been verses I very much have appreciated, but as I have said, they have been on my mind quite a bit here, particularly over the last few months. I'd like to take you back to about 3 months ago. It was September 15 of this year, to be exact. I found myself standing in front of a little box. A little open box under a large oak tree. That day it was a cloudy, breezy, cool day. And as I looked at the group of people that I was with, the pain and the sorrow, that all of us were going through was very, very obvious. In my own heart, as I stood there and struggled with the reality of the situation, it was a difficult thing. For inside that box was the body of a little boy. Missing from that box was life. A little Asher, the son of my nephew. Little Asher was dead. The finality of death that morning, it was hard to accept. It was hard to accept for a little boy. Who never had the opportunity to experience life as we all know it today. I'm sure if little Asher had anything to say in this discussion, I'm sure he would be alive. Everyone there, I know, wished for life. But life was gone. And as the agony of that seemingly senseless reality tore through my heart, I heard another voice. I heard another voice trying to make itself heard, said, "John, choose life." And that thought wouldn't leave. That day, in spite of the reality of death. As I thought about that, you know, I thought, well, what about Asher? What about all of those standing in that group that morning, grieving his unexpected death? You know, God's call to all of those that morning was to choose life. Obviously, God's call was not to choose physical life, because that was no longer an option for this little boy. It's no longer an option for his. His grieving parents. His grieving grandparents and friends. Choose life. That's the title of my talk this morning, is Choose Life. Well, I thought I had gotten the message. But apparently I hadn't. I hadn't gotten it well enough, it seems. A couple of weeks later, I was on the phone. I was on the phone for a while with a friend from Canada. That morning, we had a good conversation. Talked about a number of different things. Neither one of us dreamt that Choose Life would again be presented to me particularly. Late that evening, on the very same day, we received word that Mark Yoder had died. You know, it seemed unreal, it seemed like a mistake. And again, I'm sure if it would have been Mark's decision or the decision of Mark's family, they all would have chosen life. I didn't know Mark very well in a personal way, but even so, the logic behind his death, behind what happened to him, the logic behind the decision of God in Mike's life, I'm sorry, in Mark's life, escaped me as I wrestled again with the reality of how in the world would it be. How would it be for his wife, his children? his extended family and his friends. But again, in the midst of that struggle, from a distance, God's call for me personally came clearly through, came through very forcefully. Choose life. Again, it was not a call to choose physical life, because that was gone for Mark. But spiritual life, choose life. And I want to talk more about what that means. What I believe Moses was presenting to the children of Israel. Of course, then we could move on in time, and again, God brought this clearly to my mind, to the mind of all of us here. And when He chose to take Esther's life, that was a journey that was very difficult, still remains difficult. You know, we all prayed for a miracle. But God decided not to perform it as we wished. And this morning, you know, it's difficult. But as an individual, you know, I acknowledge the sovereignty of God. I can testify that God is good. But even today, seven and a half weeks or so after she has passed on to eternity, I still find myself struggling. With this reality. But in the din of that turmoil and the struggle, again the voice of God comes to me and comes to all of us, choose life. No, we can't choose life physically for Esther or for any of these people anymore. But that is what I have done. And I know that many of you have also done. You have chosen life. You have chosen life, not death. You have chosen blessing, not cursing. You have chosen that which is good and not evil. And the pain of these deaths, these physical deaths, and the loss that all of us have suffered, it remains and probably will continue to remain for a long time. You know, for me personally, I've chosen to focus on life from God and to choose that. And this morning, I invite you to do the same. It may not be in connection with the death of a loved one or the death of someone close to you. I don't want to limit the discussion this morning to just death. Even though it has been these physical deaths that have spoken to me and brought me to this point, But choosing life involves so much more than just life or death physically. My dear friends, you choose life when you choose to follow God. You choose life when you choose to keep your eyes on looking up at Jesus, as we heard this morning in our devotions. You choose life when you choose to follow what this holy book tells us to do. When you make the decision to refuse to go the way of the world because the Bible says you need to go this way. That is choosing life. And this morning we have an enemy who is determined that you and I will choose death when we are faced with decisions in our businesses, faced with decisions in our families, faced with decisions in our church, in our personal life. When we're looking at our computer and we have the opportunity to choose life or to choose death by clicking this or that, Satan says, now do this now, it doesn't matter. You can be alive and you can be dead at the same time. Isn't that such a silly idea? You can click on this link and you can go to this site and you can see these images, or you can read this information and you can just be alive at the same time as you're dead. You know, as I say that, you're all saying, well, no, you can't. You've never seen somebody dead and alive at the same time. You don't see good and evil as you're looking at a situation. They don't exist together. You don't see a blessing and a curse. They are opposites. They are opposites on the extreme ends of the spectrum. Let's choose life this morning in everything that we do. This morning, as I've indicated already, I just want to clarify. The discussion is about spiritual life and spiritual death. I'm talking about physical life and physical death. But at the same time, you and I need to realize that in the physical life, it's in the realm of the physical where you and I are going to make choices to determine whether we have chosen spiritual life or spiritual death. It happens right now while you're breathing, while you're sitting here on this bench. Whatever choices you have made since you walked inside these doors are choices that have been directed by the parameters, whatever they are, in your choices. And these choices are choices of life or death. You say, well, it's not that important whether I sit over here or sit here, whether I'm in the front or in the back. Those are some of those decisions that are not that consequential. Except for the fact that if you sit in the back, you can sleep, and if you sit in the front, maybe you don't. Maybe there's some consequences in that. But I'm telling you this morning, you need to choose life. Let's not choose death. And we do that within the time frame in which we are physically alive. Once we have lost that physical life, we are no longer able to choose life or death. The harsh reality for you and I today is our natural tendency is to choose death. We choose spiritual death. That's our natural tendency. You and I were born with that curse of the sin nature, and it will direct us to spiritual death by the choices that it leads us to make. And if we're going to change that, we have to intentionally make that choice. We have to intentionally choose to close that screen on your internet, and to close it, to exit out, to leave it, to go do something else. Whatever it is, the temptation is, that choice has to intentionally be made. We have to intentionally choose life. Choices have consequences. Some of these consequences may be immediate. Some are far-reaching. You know, David with Bathsheba, and I could have referred to a lot of illustrations, but David with Bathsheba, that consequence was within a year when he committed that crime, or that sin. They lost the baby. Abraham and Sarah, the choices they made in relation to Hagar, becoming pregnant and having a child. We still today, years later, reap the consequence of that choice. Adam and Eve, when they chose to disobey God, that consequence remains and will remain until time ends. Choices have consequences. And as I've already indicated, as it is in the physical world, you and I can't choose. I'm sorry, as in the physical world, we cannot choose spiritual life and spiritual death at the same time. You cannot do that. Where there is life, there is not death. So how do you know? Well, how many of you have seen life physically where there's death? It's not there. Just as where there's death, there's not life. Where there's life, there's not death. They're not in the same. They're not together. Where there is good, there is not evil. Where there is blessing, there is not cursing. At the level of life and death, life or death, our choice encompasses everything. Our choices encompass everything. It is all one and none of the other. It is never both this morning. And I want you to think about this in terms of how you are living today. How you are following the Lord Jesus Christ in your life today. And I don't stand in judgment of anybody here. I have no idea. I stand in judgment of myself because I know how I am living. I know what I am doing, and am I choosing life from Sunday to Sunday? From 7 o'clock on Monday morning to 7 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Am I choosing life? Or am I trying to live under the fallacy that I can choose life while I'm reading my Bible, but once I get on my computer, I'm doing things on the internet, I can choose death. It doesn't matter. Satan this morning and everything in his kingdom, everything connected to his kingdom leads to spiritual death. God and everything connected to his kingdom leads to spiritual life. It is a rather stark choice this morning. And I would just urge you to consider where you are at and how you are serving God. So I'd like to spend the rest of the time here considering a few things we need to choose. If your overarching goal, if my overarching goal and my driving passion, your driving passion is to choose life, what choices should we make? I have scriptures here, but I'm not sure if we won't read them all. We'll read a few of them maybe. The first choice is choose Jesus. Choose Jesus this morning. There are millions of people out there choosing something else, choosing someone else. But this morning, choose Jesus. Jesus says in John 14:6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Choose Jesus. That's the only way you can get to God. You can't get to God through good works. The Mormons have a long list of things that their people need to, 4,000 plus things their people need to do if they want to be accepted by God. It's an impossibility. And I don't mean to say anything unkind about the Mormons. But God says, all we need to do is choose Jesus initially and then follow Jesus throughout the rest of our lives. Be obedient to Jesus. Choose Jesus and do as He did. You remember what He said in relation to His Heavenly Father, His relationship to His Heavenly Father. It always says, I marvel at the words He said when He was talking to His disciples. He said, I only do. This is probably in my own words. I don't have it written out here. But I only do what my Heavenly Father wants me to do. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, God Himself, said, I am only doing today what my Father wants me to do. My dear friends, can you testify to that? That you are only doing what your Father in Heaven wants you to do? Follow Jesus. You say, well, I can't. I make mistakes. And I understand that. But if you are choosing life, you will choose to follow Him and live as He lived. Choose Jesus, His approach to people and their needs. I mean, again, we sometimes tend to let ourselves off the hook because we say we aren't God, we can't read people's minds, we don't know what they're thinking, and Jesus could. He knew what these people were considering, but I marvel the story of Zacchaeus. He knew what his spiritual needs were, and he met him right where he needed to be met. The physical needs of all the people that he healed, he knew what they were, and he met them right there. He never offended those people who were seeking, those people who were out to get him. He did offend them at times. But choose Jesus this morning. Even when his enemies came to get him in the garden, and Peter takes that sword and tries to kill that man, that one soldier, and swiped his ear off instead. What was Jesus' approach? He put that ear right back on. And he said, take Peter, put that sword away. It's not part of my kingdom. That's not part of my But that's not part of what I'm trying to teach you. Don't use that anymore. Choose Jesus. Notice his approach to his betrayal. You know, never do we get any idea that Jesus despised Judas. I don't know how he could not have despised him, but he didn't. Or Peter. When Peter three times declared in, you can find it in Matthew 26, three times he said, and he said it with fervency, and he said it with emphasis, he said, I don't know that man, I don't know who he is. Don't tell me I know him, I don't know him. And at one point, one of the records says that when he heard that rooster crow, says Jesus turned and looked at him. He didn't say anything, but it says Peter went out and wept. We can only suppose what was in that look, but I don't believe it was condemnation. It was love. For a man who, for all of his talking, for all of his declarations, Jesus knew that Peter had some things to learn yet. Everything about Jesus, his teaching, his actions, his attitude, everything he did pointed to life. When you and I choose life this morning, we choose Jesus. There is no life any other way. In Jesus is eternal life. It's the way to eternal life with him and his Father. The world will try to convince you and I that real life can be found outside Jesus. And I talk to people and I hear many conversations of men and women who promote this. All roads lead to God, they say. You don't just need Jesus. How do you know that Jesus is the only way? Why can't Mormonism be okay? Why can't Islam be okay? Why can't I just be a Buddhist? Why do I have to believe in anything? What difference does it make? Jesus is the only way. The way is through surrender and submission. The way is by taking self and all of its good logic and all of its good reasoning off the throne of our lives and putting Jesus there. When we do that, we are choosing life. This morning, I know many of you have already made that step of allowing Jesus to be the Lord of your life. There are probably some sitting here that have not made that step yet. I urge you to make it. I urge you to make it. You have an opportunity to choose life. Someday that will be taken away from you. And as long as you reject Jesus, you are choosing death. As awful as that may sound, and as much as you might declare, I would never choose death, I love life. When you are rejecting Christ, you are choosing death. You have no other option. The words of Moses are here, they're here, and they're being spoken to us as clearly as they were spoken to the children of Israel. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. The second thing we need to choose is choose the Word of God. I'll read a verse from Jeremiah 15. Verse 16, it says it like this. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The Bible gives us answers to the big picture of life. It defines for us the two ways, the two kingdoms, the two destinies, the two, and you can go on and on. There's a lot of twos that are mentioned in the New Testament. There's two options. There's two, you can choose this or you can choose that. But let's choose the Word of God. And again, the world is wrestling hard with that question. Does this book even demand that I believe it? What evidence can you give to me that this book is true? You know, give me your best argument so that you can convince me that this is true. You won't convince an individual who asks you for that. They don't want to be convinced. They want to convince you that it's not true, and they will try to demonstrate by your lack of ability to argue and articulate whatever you're trying to say, that this is just a bunch of imagination. This is somebody's dream. This is somebody's vision. Well, after all, you know, I could sit down and write a book just as good as the Bible. I could sit down and write a book that explains morality better than what God does. I had a man tell me the other day, she said, your level of morality is higher than God's. I said, it is absolutely not. Well, yes, it is. And he was going on and on about the things in the Scripture that he couldn't understand, that didn't make sense, that didn't meet whatever level of morality he thought he had. God's Word this morning is life. It has something for every situation. It is nourishment for growth. Colossians 3 says it's milk for the young and it's meat for the old, or milk for the immature and meat for the mature. It has everything that everyone needs who has chosen Jesus or who is following Jesus. And we choose this because we want life. We have chosen life this morning. This book, it's forever settled in heaven, so it makes sense to choose it. It's God's message to people. It's God's message to people, both those who are following Him and those who are not. Many of people today have rejected it as only the words of men. But it is not just the ramblings of people who we suppose to be holy. Man was simply the tool that God chose to communicate His truth to humanity. And when you and I choose the Word of God, we choose to do what the Word of God says. God does not want us to simply say, that's an interesting book. It's amazing that it has survived throughout all history. It's amazing that it's never been able to be destroyed. It's amazing that it is the book that there is the most copies sold of all over the world. All of these things are amazing, and we stand back and say, wow, that's an amazing book. He doesn't want us to say that, or only that. Instead, He wants us to choose the Word of God and to choose life. Choose it in its entirety, the easy with the hard, the simple with the complex. Just as you and I cannot choose death and life physically, you and I cannot choose a little bit of life from God's Word and a little bit of death from the world. You can't do it. It is no small thing this morning to choose the Word of God, because this Bible will change us. It will demand that we change our habits. It will demand that we change our lifestyle. It will tell us that what we think is important, things like our status, or how much money we have, how much knowledge we have, what kind of entertainment we enjoy, the rights that we think are ours, it'll tell us those things are not important anymore. People will look at us and say, why? Why are you doing that? Why are you living that way? And our answer is a simple answer. It's because I've chosen life and I have not chosen death. Let's choose life today and find it in the Word of God. Let's choose the teaching of God. You have the story in Luke 10 of Mary and Martha. She chose the teaching of God. Yes, she did. The Bible tells us that she sat and listened to Jesus teach. Of course, Martha got upset about that. But that was what she had chosen. Choose the teaching of God. It has an eternal focus. That focus is complete surrender. We give all up. It calls us to clear separation. We are not part of the world. We are not part of the kingdom of the world. We are part of the kingdom of God. Choose the teaching of God. It's very similar to what I just talked about when we were talking about choose the Word of God, because that's where the teaching of God is found. But you and I have a set of teachings, a set of principles that have molded your life where it is right now, and it will give you a framework for which you will continue to live, within which you will continue to live. You can, because you have chosen life, you can step confidently into this world of the future that is very, very blurry to those who have rejected God. You know, and whatever, I said you have a set of teachings, I assume it's the Scripture, but if it is something else, whatever it is, whatever you have chosen, these ideas and teachings, you know, they could be right, they could be wrong, they could bring you satisfaction and frustration, they can make you feel fulfilled, they might make you feel empty, they could be at odds with reality, or they could mesh with reality. These principles that you have adopted, that you have accepted in your life, will direct the way you live. And I'm telling you this morning, the person who closely connects to the teaching of God that is found in the Word of God, that person has chosen life. God this morning is not calling you and I to just read this book. He's not calling you and I to just memorize this book. But He's calling you and I to acknowledge the truth of this book and to embrace it completely with everything that it says. And I'm not standing before you telling you how that needs to be in your life. I have no idea. But He's calling you to embrace it completely. accept it without looking for a logical loophole. And don't we do that? Don't we do that? How many of you this morning, and this is one I don't measure up to at all, but the Bible says, give to him that asks to see, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. How many of us have taken that verse and have argued that verse with some logic in our minds that, well, it doesn't mean that in this situation. Or it means that in that, means this in that situation. You know, it's pretty clear what it means. You say, oh, wait a minute, I'm not going to give money or I'm not going to give help to somebody that's going to take it and buy alcohol or cigarettes or use it improperly. It doesn't say give it to people who are going to use it right. It says give it to people who ask for it and need it. It doesn't even say need it. It just says give of them that ask. Give to him that asketh thee, and of him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. We take that verse, and others too, I do it as much as anybody, and we come out with some kind of a conclusion. It's called this logical loophole that I was referring to. But embrace what the Bible says. Many people today have chosen the teaching of Joseph Smith. And that's true. There's thousands of people that would live and die by the teaching of that man. Without any, they have no idea what he really taught and how he really lived. Or the teaching of Muhammad. I read a book recently that compared Jesus with Muhammad. Quite fascinating. The differences and the similarities between those two men. You know, these people may teach some good things. There may be good things in the Book of Mormon, or there may be good things in the Quran. But there is no life in their teaching. There is no life. Choosing life means choosing the teaching of God. Choose the people of God. You know, there are people of God and people of the world. John 18 says, my kingdom is not of this world, indicating that there is a different kingdom. There is influence from the people of God, and there is an influence from the people of the world. The Bible tells us clearly that evil communications corrupt good manners. There is an identity of the people of God and an identity of the people of the world. Matthew 7, Galatians 5 speaks of the fruit of our lives. There is an identity. Where do you go when you are faced with a question? What do you do when you're standing at the end of a dead-end street? When you feel threatened to be overwhelmed by the circumstances in your life, what is your response? Yes, you should get on your knees and you should go to your Heavenly Father. That's true, and I want to encourage you to do that. But the fact of the matter is that you and I turn to people. We go to people because we are people. And I'm telling you that we need to choose the people of God. We need to choose to relate to the people who are dedicated to serving God. You know, you could choose to go to your neighbors. Probably nothing wrong with that. You could choose to go to the people at the hunting club. You could choose to go to the folks at the auction barn. You could go to the farmers at the ag meeting or the people at the coffee shop. They're all valuable people and probably have worthy things to share with you. But there is not life in those groups. Not as in the church of God, the people of God. There are people of value. Please understand me. I'm not saying that. But there is not life when we interact with those people for that purpose. Life is found with the people of God through support and encouragement and prayer. Choose the wisdom of God. I need to wrap this up here real quickly. James 3, a very fascinating comparison at the end of that chapter between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. Choose the wisdom of God. The world's wisdom is described as bitter envying and strife, earthly, sensual, and devilish. The wisdom of God is described as pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. True life is marked by the wisdom of God as described in that second list. This wisdom focuses on how we relate to the people around us. How do we treat those people? When we choose life, we will treat them in a way that is marked by the wisdom of God. It will be marked by pureness, peaceableness, gentleness, an easiness to be entreated, and so on. That is life this morning. Sometimes we declare that we have chosen life, While at the same time, our lifestyle is marked by bitterness, envy, strife, gossip, complaining, criticism, and all of those things. And I'm telling you, for me, maybe it's just my personality, but I really, really struggle with that. How can life bring forth those things? Those are not the marks of the life that God gives to us. They just are not. And I'm not saying any of you are guilty of that. You know better than I do whether you struggle with those things or not. But please consider the reality that we need to choose life. And this morning I urge you to choose the way of God. And I'd like to just speak to some of the different age groups that are here. Children, I don't know which ones of you want to call yourself children. But if it fits, I guess, if the shoe fits here, just wear it. Choose life. Choose to honor and to obey your parents. Choose to submit to the authorities that God has placed into your life. Choose to be kind to your friends and not to be selfish. You know, children, when you do these things, you are choosing life. Young people, choose life. Choose to embrace the teachings of the Bible and to live them clearly in your lives. Choose to support your church family and to be actively engaged in the life of your church. Choose to reject the allurements of the world around you, the glitter of its entertainment, the attraction of its pleasures, the pull of its wealth. Instead of that, choose the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Choose to allow that gospel to touch every part of your life. Because when you do these things, you, young people, are choosing life. Fathers, choose life. Choose to establish a home where God is always in the center. Choose to be a consistent example to those children God has given to you. Choose a life of humility, a life of simplicity, a life of openness, in light of a desire to demonstrate the way of truth to your children and to others. Choose to acknowledge and accept the way of God in your life in every decision you make. Choose to be a man of God in all things rather than trying to be a man of the world in some and a man of God in others. When you, fathers, do these things, you are choosing life. Mothers, choose life this morning. Choose to fill the role that God has called you to be as a mother and as a wife. Choose this morning to support and encourage your husbands and your children. Choose to minister to the needs of all those around you. Choose to open your hearts to others and allow them to minister to you. Choose to surround your family with prayer. Choose to quietly but consistently demonstrate the way of God as you fill the role God has called you to. When you do these things, mothers, you are choosing life. And I realize we've got some singles here, and I don't have anything specifically for you, but any of these can apply to you as well when you make these choices. That you are choosing life. To the church here at Halsey Mennonites, choose life. Choose to embrace the teachings of Jesus in a way that stands out to the community here. Choose the light of truth rather than the darkness of sin. Choose to give support and care for each other rather than to give harsh correction and condemnation. Choose to challenge each other to growth rather than to congratulate mediocrity. Choose to encourage rather than to criticize. Choose to pray rather than to gossip. Choose to engage rather than to ignore. Choose to joyfully submit to each other rather than sullenly rebel against authority. Choose to care as a group rather than to live as an individual. When you as a church do these things, you are choosing life. I remember reading an article here some time back about a young lady who was driving down a highway. She's going over a bridge, and she came across there. She saw a car stopped and a man sitting on the edge of the bridge. She felt the urge to stop, so she stopped and she went back, and the man was contemplating jumping off the bridge. She talked to him and she reasoned with him, and she managed to convince him not to do that. She managed to help that man choose life in that situation. Recently, there was a woman who called the 855 number for Cam, and got a hold of a man by the name of Kurt. She had talked with Kurt earlier that day, I believe. She had talked with another phone team member earlier, a week or two before. She told Kurt, she said, "I'm standing on a bridge." She said, "Life is just not worth it anymore. I've got too many difficulties." She said, I just got to end it. Kurt spent 40 minutes talking to that woman, begging her not to jump off.
of that bridge.
Finally, she said, well, I don't remember exactly. I can't remember the words. I should have looked this up, but I didn't have it with me this morning. But she said something to the effect, well, I've got to do what I got to do, and she hung up her phone. Kurt had no idea what that young woman had done. She was a mother of three children, I believe. Until the next morning, he got a call from her. Obviously, she had not jumped off the bridge either. She had chosen life. This is physical life we're talking about. But you know, those two individuals, by choosing physical life, also chose the opportunity to choose spiritual life. This morning we have that opportunity. You know, Asher, little Asher, Mark, Esther, they can't choose life anymore. It's gone. But we believe that all of them did choose life. The life that Moses was talking about while they were alive. And for that we are extremely grateful. And it gives us comfort. And as I've told you already, we enjoy physical life today. But in this time frame, in this period of physical life, we can choose this spiritual life that Moses presented to the children of Israel and today presents to us. But at some point, we will be unable to make that choice. This morning, choosing life is not just becoming a Christian. Choosing life is a daily activity. And everything we do and every decision we make, in every conversation that we have and every belief we embrace, in every situation that we find ourselves in, let's consistently and clearly choose life as found in Jesus, as found in the Word of God, in the teaching of God, in the people of God, as found in the wisdom of God and in the way of God. Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 to 20. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgment, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Choose life this morning, so that you and your seed may live. God bless you.